What do you think? Is a joyful heart good medicine? It is. Do you think a joyful heart is always easy? Nope. So to the end of helping us with that, take your Bibles, please, and open with me to Proverbs 17. If you didn't recognize it, what we just sang is Proverbs 17:22. And as you open there, I want to tell you that on behalf of the elders, and I did ask them first to make sure that I could speak on their behalf, but to all of you on behalf of the elders, we wish you a Merry Christmas, but more than that, we wish you a merry heart. I did indeed check with them. We desire for you to have a merry heart, but even more than that, God desires for you to have a merry heart. That's the truth we're looking at today. The God of heaven wants you to have a merry heart. I'm going to show you why that is, and I'm going to tell you how to get there, even in difficult times, all right? Why we want you to have a merry heart and how to get there even if times are tough. Our text for this morning is Proverbs 17:22. It's going to come at you kind of quickly because I need to leave time at the end for some children singing. So get ready. Get ready to move right along. Have your Bibles ready. Our text is Proverbs 17:22. Title of the message this morning is, We Wish You a Merry Heart. This is the Word of God. Proverbs 17:22 says, A merry heart, merry as in Merry Christmas, not as in Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. Dating myself there. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Real simple. God wants you to have a merry heart. He's giving you a graphic picture of one versus the other, and he's teaching you that the condition of your heart greatly affects your physical health. That's a proven fact. So why does God want you to have a merry heart? I'm going to give you three reasons. And how do you get there? I'm going to give you a lot of tips. All right? So why does God want us to have a merry heart? Reason number one, because it does you good like a medicine. In fact, it actually reads, it is good medicine. If you have a New American Standard, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine. It really is. Now, what heart is he talking about? Is he talking about your heart that goes thump, 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 thump? Yes or no? He is not talking about that heart at all. This has nothing to do with your physical heart. This has everything to do with your spiritual heart, which is what? Your soul, your spirit, your inner you. You know, the inner Sam. The inner Lisa, the inner Dominic. This is the inner you, okay? A happy inner you does you good. That's what this is teaching. The heart in Hebrew thought is like mission control center. It's where you ponder, meditate, think, reason, decide, and respond to different circumstances. And it's better for you and everyone around you if you've got a happy one of those, a joyful one, than if you have an unhappy, bitter, cold, etc., one of those. That's the point. Does the condition of your spiritual heart and mind affect your physical and mental health? Oh, yes, in every way. Well, the verse here simply says, a merry heart is good medicine. So what is merry? M-E-R-R-Y. The Hebrew word here, sameach, means joyful, cheerful, glad, and if you search out the word, which we're not going to do, but if you search it out, it means cheerful regardless of the circumstances. Huh. Reminds of Jesus' words to his disciples in John 16 when he said, in this world you will have troubles, tribulation, but be of good cheer, which is like saying be of a happy heart. That's like a contradiction, but it isn't. Jesus is saying, listen, you're going to have trouble in this world. That's just a fact, whether you like that or not. But you can be and you need to be of a joyful heart, a cheerful heart. So you're going to have to work on that. The root of this word is found 438 times in the Old Testament. The root of merry, happy, joyful, 438 times in the Old Testament. What does that tell you? God wants you to have a merry heart. It's his will for your life. And it's doable. And here, notice, it says, a joyful heart is good medicine. That word, medicine, is the word for a healing, a cure, a fix. Like sometimes the solution to the problem is to change your attitude. Attitude adjustment, right? How many parents remember giving attitude adjustments to the kids? Oh, looks like you need an attitude adjustment. Yeah. Well, we can fix that right now. Yeah, that's what this is saying. So, reason number one why God wishes you a merry heart is because it is good medicine. Reason number two why God wishes for you a merry heart is because, well, look at the alternative. Look at 722b, Proverbs 722b. B, but a broken spirit dries the bones. That's a sharp contrast. And part of the beauty of Proverbs is that God gives these sharp contrasts to say, look, don't even think about some middle ground. Just think about these two alternatives, and which one should you choose? I mean, if you could choose between a joyful heart or a broken spirit, that should be a very easy choice. Better for you, better for your marriage, better for your family, better for all your relationships, better for your job, better for school, better for church, if you have line A, than if you have line B. The picture here is of two very different kinds of people with two very different effects. The one with a merry heart has a constant source of good medicine inside of him or her. The one with a broken spirit dries the bones like either his own or those around him. Huh. What about drying the bones? One commentator says, this is a picture of having the life sucked right out of you. Ooh. And notice it says dries the bones. It doesn't say dries his own bones, but that might be the case. Could dry the bones of those around him. Like, if I have a broken spirit, it could dry you up. It wouldn't do you any good. That's what it says. I say that we wish you a merry heart. Really, God wishes you a merry heart. But you know what? You should wish for you a merry heart. You should want, and that's part of the goal here. One of the goals of this proverb is that you should leave it saying, I want that. I want a joyful heart. Good. If you do, part of the goal is being accomplished because that's part of the goal. Let me be more specific, all right? Men, where are you? Okay, you're out there. You should want for yourself a merry heart. You should want for your wife that you have a merry heart. You should want for your kids that you have a merry heart. You should want for your boss, your coworkers, your employees, your neighbors that live around you, and everyone around you in the church. You should want that you have a merry heart. Wives, where are you? Ladies, same thing. Everything I just said. Right? You should want for the sake of your husband and your kids and your parents, and your coworkers, and your boss, and your employees, and your neighbors, and everybody else in the church, you should want that you have and keep a joyful heart. Have you ever known someone who just seems to always have a joyful heart? You ever seen that? That's a good thing. Like, if you can get in your mind, like, oh, I think of so-and-so, always seems to have a joyful heart, that's somebody to go to and say, hey, what's your secret? In that Steve Green song, Pastor Rick, I watched a little video on that. I've been singing and whistling that song all week long. My wife's probably tired of it. In that little Steve Green video of Proverbs 17:22, he has all the kids up, and he has this giant bottle. It says RX. And he has this giant spoon, and he dips the giant, pours out of the giant bottle and giant spoon and gives all the kids this. He's like, boy, if only you could dish in a merry heart medicine. It's a fun little video. You should watch it. So, we wish you a merry heart. Reason number one is because it's good medicine. Reason number two is because the alternative dries up the bones, yours and others around you. It sucks the life out of you and others around you. Reason number three, which do you think is better for the gospel of Jesus Christ? Merry heart or a broken spirit? It's obvious, isn't it? You know, there's something really more important than even us here. It is the work of God on the earth. It really does not do any good for God's work on the earth for you to not have a merry heart. And that's why we want this for you. It's better for evangelism. It's better for discipleship. It's better for counseling. It's better for parenting and grandparenting and shepherding and loving your neighbor and all your relationships. It's better for your job. You know what? It's even better for your face. Look at Proverbs 15:13 real quick. Let's turn over there really quickly. Proverbs 15:13. Ready, go. Ah, I love that sound. Sound of faith. trust, obedience. Look at it, 15:13. A merry heart, same words, makes a cheerful countenance. What's another word for countenance? Face. If you have a happy heart, it'll show on your face. If you don't have a happy heart, that'll show on your face too. Brother Bill Latta, listen closely, because I'm going to tell a story. One time I was meeting Bill Latta at McDonald's. Remember that? We were meeting at McDonald's. I walked in and you said, "What happened?" Do you remember that? Yeah, you remember that. He was reading my face, and something very bad had happened that day. I won't go into that. Something very bad happened that morning. But Bill and I were meeting every week, and I'm like, "Oh, I'm not canceling the weekly meeting." I walk in. I think I'm trying to cover up, you know, the really bad thing that happened that morning. And he goes, "Hey, what's wrong?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" "Your face." And I go, "What?" He goes, "Something's bad, man. It's bad." Sounds like Bill, right? He goes, it's bad, man. And I go, "Man, I can't believe. I mean, like, we can tell." Well, this Proverbs 15:13 is telling you that. But look down at 15:15. "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast," has a continual source inside of self to feed upon. All right, so you convinced? We want you to have, God wants you to have, you want you to have a merry heart. Three reasons: it's good medicine, the alternative is terrible for you and everyone else around you, and a merry heart is better for the gospel and every other kind of ministry. So, how do you get there? Well, before I give you that, three quick truths, really quick. Ready? Three quick truths. Number one, joy is the fruit of the Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, good luck manufacturing a joyful heart. Ain't going to happen. You can't make it happen. I tried it as an unbeliever to try to make it like I was a believer, because I was going to church and I thought, man, these people are joyful and loving and love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. I gotta come up with that. Didn't work until I was born again. By the grace of God, God used my inability to come up with love and joy and peace. He used that to convince me I was not a Christian. Praise God. But this is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You need to have the Holy Spirit. Number two, we are commanded to be filled with, same answer, the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine. Don't let wine be influencing you, but be filled, constantly filled to the full with the Holy Spirit. And number three, these are just three quick truths on the way. To be filled with the Spirit, you need the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly, Colossians 3:16. All right, so now, how do you get there? How do you maintain a joyful heart, a merry heart, even in difficult times? Here it comes, real quick. I'm going to give you 10, probably 12 ways, real quickly. Bible, jot them down. Bible. Prayer, worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship, counseling. That's seven. Got that? Bible, prayer, worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship, counseling. That's seven. And we'll stop there for a second. See if there's time for another five. Bible. I mean, like, take in less bad news and put in more good news. Less CNN, more Scripture. Less Fox News, more Philippians. Less social media, more social ministry. Right? Less of one, more of the other. Bible. Read your Bible. Have it read to you. Again, Proverbs 15:15. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he who is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And part of that continual feast is the merry-hearted person knows that here's where we go. Here's where we go. This is the good news of God. This is powerful. So Bible is number one. Bible. Be in the Word. Be listening to God's Word. We had I may have said this already. We had a men's Bible study. I was substituting for Doc Filson on a Friday morning. Brian was at my house at 6 o'clock. Watch out for Brian. Showed up at 6 o'clock. But he was bringing the cinnamon rolls and everything. And you could tell he was bursting with Wiersbe and Bible Knowledge Commentary. And it was great. I said, dude, you're going to have a hard time containing yourself. But he was full of God's Word and truth, and I mean, that's good stuff. This morning, Brother John Rouse, I mean, poke him and he comes out praise. I mean, poke him and he bleeds praise for God. That's a good thing. Bible prayer, that's an obvious one. Just be praying, right? Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-8, Bible prayer. Worship, worship. Be in the house of God, even if you're not feeling like it, because God is worthy. Psalm 100, studied that recently. Bible prayer, worship, fellowship. Don't follow the desire of your flesh to isolate from brothers and sisters in Christ. Far better for your merry heart if you say, you know, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to go. And while I'm there, I might even say, you know, I wasn't going to come. I just have a really hard time, but pray for me. You'll leave better off, right? Bible prayer, worship, fellowship, evangelism, tell somebody about Jesus. Discipleship, invest your life into others. Don't be thinking about you all the time. Counseling, you know what? Get counsel. We've had times when I didn't have a merry heart, and we've gone to other people and said, hey, can you help us? That's a good reason to go get help. I'm having a hard time rejoicing. Here's the circumstance. It's okay. We all struggle with this. A merry heart is not an easy thing, but it is a desirable thing. So Bible, prayer, worship, fellowship, evangelism, discipleship, counseling. And then finally, in closing, I listened to a sermon on this verse this week. It wasn't super exegetical, expositional, but it was super practical. And he added to my list five more things that I thought were helpful. They all would be gathered under how to love your neighbor. Okay? So here they are real quickly. Number one, and have a sense of humor. Have a sense of humor. How many of you remember Reader's Digest, laughter the best medicine? See? My parents used to get Reader's Digest. I couldn't wait, and I always opened up there first. And after that one, I looked up humor and uniform. Remember that one? All these jokes from the military. And then there was like a joke. I was always the funny stuff. Didn't read all the articles. But Reader's Digest was great. Laughter the best medicine. They had like the best jokes. Second, this guy's sermon. Look on the bright side. There is always a bright side. Look on the bright side of everything, even bad things. Oh, I totaled my truck recently. But you know what? One less vehicle to maintain. I will never change the oil in that truck again or the transmission fluid. Okay, hey, that is a bright side. There's more space in the driveway. Come to my place, there's an extra parking spot where my truck used to sit. Look at the bright side. Seriously, there is a bright side. Third, learn to laugh at yourself. Don't let your own weakness and ability rob you of joy. You know, if you're like someone I know, you get down to the basement, you're like, what did I come down here for? Learn to laugh at that and go, I don't remember why I went down there. And you can tell that story to other people. I do that sometimes. Denise, you ever do that? Denise does it once in a while. Yeah, learn to laugh at yourself. It's okay. I look at Brother Don, he's a good example of that. He can laugh at things that he can't do. How you doing, Don? Not bad for an old guy, right? That's what he says sometimes. Fourth is a big one. Don't do drama. Friends don't let friends do drama. Like, don't be the cause of drama in your family, your neighborhood, your church. Don't be the one who's always causing drama. You want to be one who lifts burdens and worries and concerns off of other people. You do not want to be the one who's adding burdens, worries, and concerns to people. This is real practical, right? All right, fifth, final thing this guy said, give people a break. Give them the benefit of the doubt. If you're critical of others, it robs you of joy because you're concerned about their faults and their shortcomings and so forth. You need to replace all of that with a love that overlooks a multitude of what? Sins. And things less than sins. Amen? We wish you a merry heart. It's desirable, and it's doable. But if you're here today and you don't have Christ, it's not doable without Him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You cannot even have a joyful heart if you don't have Christ. And so maybe this message is convicting. You know what? If it feels convicting, praise God. That's the Spirit of God trying to expose to you that you don't have a joyful heart because you don't have Jesus. The best thing you could do today is confess that. I don't think I have Jesus in my heart. And say, God, forgive me, have mercy on me, a sinner. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that like a loving father, you want your children to have a joyful heart. And we pray, help us with that. For Jesus' sake and in His name, amen.